This morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Terror attack in Northern England. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, Tuesday, May 23rd. Thanks for being with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
A suicide bomber at a concert in Manchester has killed at least 22 people and injured nearly five dozen others.
I just saw these people come running down the stairs, screaming, pushing each other, screaming, crying, and it was manic. But I only heard one explosion.
British authorities are trying to find out if the attacker acted alone.
President Trump finishes a trip to the Middle East today, then promptly heads to Europe. Meantime, his first budget proposal is being sent to Congress.
Former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn says he will not cooperate with a Senate subpoena evoking the Fifth Amendment.
And the push to get new college grads to start saving now.
So, of course, when you're entering the real world, as a college grad, you know, saving for retirement is probably the last thing on your mind. But if you start right away and do a few things that actually don't take that much time, you can set yourself up to be so much better off.
Janelle Marte, personal finance writer at The Washington Post, on immediate financial lessons for new grads entering the workforce. She's here in about 20 minutes. At least 22 people were killed and nearly 60 injured by a suspected suicide bomber at an Ariana Grande concert in Manchester, England. The Greater Manchester Police said just after the pop singer was closing her show last night, a loud explosion outside the venue sent screaming fans, many of them young girls, streaming toward the exits. This man, who took his daughter to the performance, said she's shaken but okay.
She's 9 years old, so quite scary for her. She was saying, what's happening, when I was running. I just said, just keep running.
The explosion went off near the arena's box office at around 10:30 p.m. local time at Manchester Arena, one of the largest concert venues in Europe, with a capacity of 21,000. Manchester Police Chief Constable Ian Hopkins.
Terrorists will attempt to disrupt our lives and create distrust and fear in our communities. We have a long history here in Greater Manchester of our communities standing together during difficult times.
British police believe that some victims were killed or hurt in the resulting stampede of frantic concert goers. Countries from the United States to Japan and Singapore are considering tightening security ahead of major theater and sports events following that suicide bomb attack in Northern England. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security said Americans may experience increased security at public events like the one last night outside Lincoln Center in New York City.
New York is like a city, it's a beacon of hope for a lot of people. So to see this response and see that, it's like, feels like kind of the one thing you can count on right now.
Japan said it has established an information gathering unit dedicated to international terrorism. In Singapore, the organizer of Britney Spears concerts next month said they were considering new measures. Hong Kong's Asia World Expo said it would enhance security measures for all concerts and events. Besides baggage inspection, there will be metal detectors and search dogs for any suspicious items. In Australia, the Melbourne Cricket Ground, the country's biggest sports arena, said it was reviewing procedures and working closely with other countries on strategy. The White House today will introduce a budget plan designed to balance the federal ledger in a decade by jumpstarting economic growth and cutting taxes and government programs. Programs that would see dramatic cuts include Medicaid, food stamps, disability benefits, welfare, and student loans. The White House says the planned tax cuts can generate more revenue for the government rather than reduce it. Reaction from Pennsylvania Congressman Charlie Dent.
If we're going to increase defense, we must take it out of the non-defense spending, non-defense discretionary, which means things like medical research are impacted, the Justice Department, transportation, education, a lot of things that people care about that are not entitlement, that are not defense. So it squeezes everything.
The budget would cut overall spending $4.5 trillion over a decade. Those cuts would more than offset a short-term boost in funding to the military, $200 billion on infrastructure investment, and $19 billion on a new parental leave program. Mr. Trump, by the way, won't be on hand to sell the plan in Washington since he's on his first overseas trip, traveling through the Middle East and Europe. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and defense. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
Glad you could spend some time with us. Former National Security Advisor Mike Flynn has told the Senate Intelligence Committee that he will not cooperate with a Senate subpoena invoking his constitutional right against self-incrimination. Oklahoma Republican Senator James Lankford says Congress still has options.
There's no way to be able to guess why Flynn and his attorneys decided not to be able to comply with the request. He's turned over a five-page document saying this is why we don't want to self-incriminate. We don't want to even search our records to be able to know. We'll go through with our own legal counsel here in the Senate to help look through what's the next step that we can do, what's a logical next step. But we've got to get to that information.
Wall Street Journal White House correspondent Byron Tao, meanwhile, says this sets off a legal showdown with Congress over a key witness in its investigation of alleged Russian interference in the 2016 election. Byron, what do we have?
So Michael Flynn, who's the former national security advisor to Donald Trump, has been subpoenaed by the Senate Intelligence Committee as part of its investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 election. That was the first such subpoena issued by either of the congressional committees that's probing this. And today we have from a source familiar with the matter that Michael Flynn will decline to cooperate with this subpoena and invoke his Fifth Amendment constitutional right against self-incrimination.
All right. This perhaps was predictable because he'd been seeking a deal, right?
That's right. So, you know, essentially, his lawyer has offered up his testimony in exchange for guarantees that he would not be subject to criminal prosecution based on what he tells Congress. So federal investigators separately, in addition to this congressional investigation, the FBI, federal investigators are looking at his lobbying work and what he might have done on behalf of the Turkish government and whether it was all properly registered and above board. And his lawyer is concerned that if he testifies in front of Congress as part of this probe, that could then be used against him in a criminal prosecution. So it is all part of a big negotiation going on between Congress, between the FBI, and between a lot of the witnesses that Congress wants to speak to about the circumstances under which they speak.
All right, so Mr. Flynn invokes the Fifth, then what? What for the Senate?
Well, so the Senate has a couple options, none of which are particularly good. Subpoenas are not voluntary. Of course, you do have the right to invoke your Fifth Amendment right if you're called to testify. Congress can hold you in contempt, and if that vote is successful, they can refer an uncooperative witness or a subpoena dodger to the Department of Justice for criminal prosecution. They can try to go to civil court to try to enforce their subpoena there. And there's a very rarely used procedure where Congress, which does control some law enforcement agencies, could arrest you and imprison you, but that is very hypothetical and has not been done in a long time. So a lot of folks who have defied congressional subpoenas have actually gotten away with it or at least not faced any serious legal consequences. So this could be a long-running legal battle.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal White House correspondent Byron Tao. His piece is called Mike Flynn Won't Comply with Senate Subpoena in Russia Probe. So with all this going on, does it sound like he's trying to duck something, or is that not fair to speculate that way?
Well, I would say it sounds like he's trying to use the leverage that he has, which is his testimony, and that's something that Congress wants badly in exchange for a deal. If he gave over the documents, if he volunteers to testify, he sort of loses his leverage. So I think this is an ongoing negotiation, and I do suspect it's possible that this all does get resolved at some point and does end with Michael Flynn testifying, but that may be some point down the line. I think it's all part of a big legal strategy and negotiation on his behalf and on his lawyer's behalf.
All right, and this comes down to, right, kind of revisits somewhat of months-old history here about him not reporting certain things as he was trying to become part of the Trump administration.
That's right. So this all dates back to before there was a Trump administration. Late last year, Michael Flynn signed a lobbying contract with a Turkish businessman. He ultimately then registered with the Department of Justice, acknowledging that perhaps the work he was doing was not on behalf of this businessman, but was in fact on behalf of the Turkish government. The rules about representing foreign governments are much stricter than representing businesses and individuals. And so this was an admission of, on his part, that he may have done some foreign government lobbying work. And, you know, he ends up entering the Trump administration, and then there ends up being all these questions about it, and ultimately becomes probed by federal investigators. And this is what it all boils down to, that this is some lobbying work that he did that's landed him in some hot water.
Thanks, Byron. Wall Street Journal White House correspondent Byron Tao. 21 minutes after the hour on This Morning, Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Morning. What was supposed to be a night of music and fun became an evening of blood and carnage. An explosion ripped through a Manchester, England venue hosting an Ariana Grande concert attended by thousands of young music fans last night. Authorities say at least 22 are dead and dozens more injured in the blast caused by a lone suicide bomber. UK Home Security, Amber Rudd.
Deliberately targeting some of the most vulnerable in our society, young people, children, out at a pop concert.
Witnesses say the explosion went off in an area of the Manchester arena where parents were waiting to pick up their kids as the concert wound down.
I just saw these people come running down the stairs screaming, pushing each other, screaming, crying, and it was manic. But I only heard one explosion.
No information has been released on the suspected bomber. President Trump today talked up the prospects of peace between Israelis and Palestinians, saying he believes both sides are committed to an historic deal, but he offered no proposals on how to get there.
As I discussed with President Abbas in Washington earlier this month, I am committed to trying to achieve a peace agreement between the Israelis and the Palestinians, and I intend to do everything I can to help them achieve that goal.
Trump made the remarks after meeting for an hour today with Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas in Bethlehem. Democrats are expressing alarm at a report alleging President Trump asked two top intelligence officials to publicly deny collusion between the Russians and his campaign. Congressman Adam Schiff of California says the Washington Post report that Trump tried to enlist the head of the NSA and the National Intelligence Director to push the White House narrative is a disturbing allegation that Trump is interfering with the FBI probe. Well, if the thought of vacation stresses you out, you aren't alone. According to a new Career Builder survey, 36% say they've returned from vacation to find so much work they wish they had never left at all. And 18% say vacations cause them to be more stressed out about work.
No, that's not good.
No.
I get stressed out at work when I don't have anything to do.
Oh.
What Kelly likes to just sit on the beach for hours on end. I start twitching after about 6 minutes.
I can see you being like that.
23 minutes now after the hour. Thanks for being with us. Welcome to the real world, college graduates. Two words of advice. Start saving. Saving for retirement is probably, though, near the bottom of your financial to-do list. But Janelle Marte at The Washington Post says opening a retirement account in your early 20s is a major part of adulting. It can have lots of financial benefits. Janelle, set this up.
So, of course, when you're starting your first job, entering the real world, as a college grad, you know, saving for retirement is probably the last thing on your mind after student loan payments and figuring out how to pay bills in general. But if you start right away and do a few things that actually don't take that much time, you can set yourself up to be so much better off even in a year or two, and especially, you know, decades from now. And it's really about starting now so that you can take advantage of this thing called time, which is, I'm sure, already slipping away as you start, you know, kind of getting used to your work and all of that.
All right. So you mentioned here, obviously, start early. And really the key for that is the C word, right? Compounding.
It is. So, like, if you just take a look at, for someone who, and this is a little bit, of course, dramatic, because not everyone is going to start saving for retirement at the bottom of the market, but just imagine someone who was saving over the past, 7 years or so. If you were investing that money, well, the market has pretty much, you know, the stock market has pretty much tripled over that time. So your money would also have benefited from those gains. Now, someone who was saving just the same amount of money but not investing the cash, well, they would have a lot less, you know, money in the bank right now.
I know you started to get into that a little bit, but that's almost like do something. Don't say, you know what, 6 months from now, I'll just do double and save, right? It doesn't work that way. Start with a little something.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, one of the things is that you might be overwhelmed when you're looking at the different options. Some of the terms like small cap stocks or large cap stocks, if you've never, ever thought about this, and a lot of our students and college grads aren't very familiar because it's not always taught in class, especially depending on what it is that you studied. It might even help, some people have said, just to pick something, and then you can go back and change it. You have to remember that, like, if you put it down, inertia can just kick in, and then before you know it, it's been 3 years.
Thanks, Janelle. Janelle Marte, personal finance writer at The Washington Post. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. It's Small Business Month, and Dell is celebrating innovators and job creators in a big way, like up to 40% off business PCs big. Even a free 1 terabyte external hard drive with select purchases big. Call 877-BUY-DELL today to connect with a U.S.-based advisor. They're ready to help with tech solutions tailored to your business, like finding just the right Dell PCs with Intel Core processors, because your hard work is more than appreciated, it's admired. Call 877-BUY-DELL today.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Glad you're with us. Tuesday, May 23, Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines: suicide bomber at a concert in Manchester, England, kills 22 and injures 59. Reaction overseas from President Trump.
I won't call them monsters because they would like that term. They would think that's a great name. I will call them, from now on, losers, because that's what they are. They're losers.
Mr. Trump finishes his Middle East trip today, then heads to Europe. The White House sends its first budget to Congress. The UN Security Council considers North Korea's actions today. OJ gets a parole hearing in July. And the woman being called a hero in Manchester today. We'll have that story in about 20 minutes. Well, the Pentagon will spend the next several months gearing up for a mission so complicated that many officials doubt it can be pulled off. An undertaking so immense that the military has not once dared to try it before. Hard to imagine, but the Department of Defense is preparing for its first ever audit. Here's Russell Berman, national political reporter at The Atlantic. Russell, what's up here?
So the Pentagon is not only the largest federal bureaucracy, but it's the largest employer in the world and has never once in its history had a formal audit of its finances. So the Trump administration says that starting in the next several months, it is going to start a first ever audit of the Department of Defense.
Jeez. I mean, given its size, wouldn't that be all the more reason to audit it?
Exactly. And this has been, an embarrassment for budgetary watchdogs in Washington. And it's become a preoccupation for members of Congress who have been putting increasing pressure on the government. You know, first the Obama administration and now the Trump administration to get serious about this, especially when we see so many reports and studies about wasteful spending or cost overruns, especially with the famous F-35 fighter jet program that President Trump has taken an interest in. So we see so many stories about this, and yet it all goes back to they really haven't looked at the books in a formal way. But they've spent billions of dollars over the last several years just trying to get ready for an audit.
You put out in the story, there are some reports suggesting that hundreds of billions to several trillion dollars may have been misspent. Over what period are we talking about?
Over the last anywhere from several years to a couple of decades, there have been partial reports about how the Pentagon spends taxpayer money, but never really a holistic one. And of course, there's a difference between accounting mistakes or things that have been misspent or things or programs that have just cost way more than they anticipated. And one of the things that the experts told me is that Congress is focusing on this But it's not a be-all, end-all. It's not a silver bullet. There are still going to be big decisions about defense spending that have to be made that won't be answered by an audit, which is really just looking at the books and making sure that, you know, the money that Congress appropriated is going to the places where, you know, it should. So it's an important step, but it's not going to necessarily change how we spend money on defense in this country.
We're speaking with Russell Berman, senior associate editor at The Atlantic, about his piece entitled "The Pentagon is Almost Ready for Its Close-Up," talking about a first-ever audit of the Defense Department. Put in perspective, like, how large of an undertaking this is. Like, how big is the Defense Department?
So it's got more than 3 million employees, and that doesn't even take into account the contractors. That's been one of the things that has really prevented them from getting to this audit in the last 15 years. Since 9/11, as we've fought the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, there's been an explosion of contractors that have been used outsourcing. You know, we remember the Blackwater scandal from the Iraqi years. And so there are now more contractors for the military overseas than there are actual service members. And what this means is that, by one estimate, there are 15 to 20 million separate transactions that the military undertakes just with contractors alone. And so an audit would have to track every single one of those, in addition to all of the normal stuff that is under the auspices of its, you know, full-time employees. And so the sprawl of the Pentagon between its many different agencies and branches, it's just, you know, unimaginable. And then that's why, I mean, just to think about how they've had to spend billions of dollars just in overhead to try to get their paperwork in order just to start this process, let alone finish it.
Russell Berman, national political reporter at The Atlantic. So I was thinking, imagine if you were in charge of auditing office supplies, right? Quick math. If all 3 million employees needed a cheap Bic pen, 16 cents a piece for a 12-pack on Amazon, that's $480,000 just for pens, if everybody got one. 20 minutes now in front of the hour. Thanks for being with us. Reminder, by the way, that we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or on Twitter. We use the username at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter, too, at Gordon Deal. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, last night's suspected terror attack at an Ariana Grande concert in the UK brought swift reaction from around the world via social media, most prominently from Ariana Grande herself. Shortly after the chaos broke out, the singer tweeted, "Broken. From the bottom of my heart, I am so sorry. I don't have words." That has since been liked and retweeted nearly 2 million times. Plenty of political figures also expressed their condolences, from Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau to House Speaker Paul Ryan to New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, who also tweeted that law enforcement will be stepping up security and patrols. Late night host James Corden found out about the attack while taping his show.
"It shocks me every time we hear this sort of news, that attacks like this can happen, but especially when there will be so many children. We'll all go to bed holding our little ones even tighter this evening."
And some of those popular figures in the music world also sent out their thoughts and prayers, including Nicki Minaj, who is a friend of Grande and has collaborated with her on songs. Minaj wrote, "My heart hurts for my sister, Ariana, and every family affected by this tragic event in the UK. Innocent lives lost." Taylor Swift, Harry Styles, Katy Perry, Jennifer Lopez, and Bruno Mars were among those who also expressed their support for Manchester and all those affected. Mars tweeted, quote, "I don't want to believe that the world we live in could be so cruel." Lord echoed the thoughts of many entertainers who draw big crowds to their shows when she tweeted, "Every musician feels sick and responsible tonight. Shows should be safe for you. Truly a worst nightmare. Sending love to Manchester and Ari."
I think Lord captured it there.
Yeah.
And helps explain what Ariana Grande tweeted when she tweeted "broken."
Yes,
because they feel somewhat responsible.
Yeah, I mean, they have to, right or wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and they go through their entire lives, right, just wanting to make people happy, just wanting
right.
to see smiles on people's faces, wanting to see, you know, these groups of kids there, you
yeah.
know, having a good time, and to have something like this happen. I mean, I don't know how you sort of pick up and kind of go on after that, and you know, and how this isn't in your mind, you know, again, you know, for the rest of your life.
I don't know that we get into the minds of these terrorists in such a way,
But was this coincidental that there happened to be an event going on at this time in Manchester, or was this person deliberately targeting, you know, a majority of teen girls?
Right.
On what is the four-year anniversary of that attack on that British police officer?
Yeah.
Right, in London also.
More details still to be sorted out.
14 minutes now in front of the hour.
Ransomware is software that can infiltrate your business through email, enabling cyber criminals to hijack sensitive information as ransom for your own data's release. Leveraging Barracuda email security with advanced threat detection can stop a ransomware attack in its tracks. As an added measure, Barracuda Backup allows you to recover your data without having to surrender to extortion. Crime doesn't pay when you protect your business data with Barracuda. Go to Barracuda.com/ransomware to learn more.
This wicked ideology must be obliterated, and I mean completely obliterated.
President Trump reacting overseas today to the terrorist attack in Manchester, England last night at a concert. It's 10 minutes now in front of the hour. Time for a small business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. If you want to take your business to the top, take it to a top 10 state for business, Michigan. Contact michiganbusiness.org today. If you're like most entrepreneurs, you're probably happy to be one. The latest American Express Open Small Business Monitor finds that 81% of business owners say their happiness is due somewhat or entirely to being an entrepreneur. And what's more, 94% of entrepreneurs say they're happy with their lives. Other findings, on average, 73% say they need to hire to handle their growing business or to help increase business volume. And to meet their staffing needs, 17% will hire a combination of full and part-time employees. 16% say they will hire only part-timers, while 12% will hire only full-timers. 8 minutes in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, the death toll in the deadly suicide bombing at a concert by Ariana Grande in Manchester, England, has climbed to 22, with children among the dead. Authorities are treating the incident as a terror attack in which the lone bomber was killed. This woman, who attended the concert with her cousin, describes the scene outside the venue.
People were just looking for the children. Kids were looking for the parents. I saw one girl on the floor with a medical team. Her hand had been cut open really badly in her leg. She had to get it stitched up.
President Trump remarked on the incident from his Middle East trip.
That's what they are. They're losers. And we'll have more of them. But they're losers. Just remember that.
UK Prime Minister Theresa May says police believe they know the identity of the attacker but will not reveal the name at this point. The UK threat level remains severe, meaning another attack is highly likely. Attorneys for Michael Flynn say that a daily escalating public frenzy against him and the Justice Department's appointment of a special counsel have created a legally dangerous environment for him to cooperate with a Senate investigation, so he'll invoke his Fifth Amendment protection against self-incrimination and won't produce documents in response to a congressional subpoena. Democratic Senator Joe Manchin says the investigation will continue regardless.
When a person won't provide documents, and you want to think, well, what they hide, what's being hidden from us. So we're very concerned about that, and I think that we will discuss as a committee actions we can take in making sure that we can look at these records and see these records.
The Senate could vote to hold Flynn in contempt and take the matter to civil court, or it could ask the Justice Department to consider criminal prosecution. Well, she bought the ring in the 80s at a flea market in West London for about $15, thinking it was a nice piece of costume jewelry. Turns out it was a white diamond. The ring is expected to fetch as much as $450,000 when it's auctioned off at Sotheby's on June 7th.
$15, the original buying price?
Yep. Turns into $450,000. Good return on your investment.
How about that ROI?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Thank you, Jen. It's 6 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. The world may have a new hero today. In the midst of the chaos in Manchester last night, a woman named Paula Robinson began helping children after the Ariana Grande concert attack. Shortly after the suicide bomber blew himself up, Ms. Robinson posted on social media that there were about 50 children with her who were without parents or guardians. It was late, so she took them to a nearby hotel. She wrote, "Please repost for any parents with children at Manchester Arena. We've taken as many kids as we can to the Holiday Inn. We'll keep them safe and stay with them. In a later post, she added her phone number. Reuters says she's a 48-year-old who lives about 40 miles east of Manchester in the town of West Dalton. She was at the concert with her husband. Someone with the username Joan O'Morris tweeted, "Can we give praise to this lady, Paula Robinson, who's looking after missing children?" He wrote, "When evil strikes, the people hit back." Someone else retweeted, "Whoever Paula Robinson is, she deserves a medal. Hashtag working class hero." That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.